Ante Chof Hei Omer Aleph, the Gemara discusses the issue of Asmachta. There is a Machloikis Hatanoim in Baba Basra between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, whether you say Asmachta Kanya or Asmachta Lo Kanya. The Tosfos on Chof Hei Omer Aleph refers you to this Machloikis about 10 lines into the 10 lines from the top. Hamashlu Sheshtor Vechulo in Perigat Poshut, it says in parentheses, Baba Basra, the case of the Mishnah is like this. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 and he's supposed to pay up the money today. So he comes to Shimon and he says he doesn't have the $1,000 to pay. He has $500 to pay. So what's going to be with you? Asmachta Kanya or Asmachta Lo Kanya? The Tosfos on Chof Hei Omer Aleph refers you to this machlokes about 10 lines into the 10 lines from the top. Hamashlu Sheshtor Vechulo in Perigat Poshut, it says in parentheses, Baba Basra, Dav Kuf Samaches Amenat. The case in the Mishnah is like this. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and he's supposed to pay up the money today. So he comes to Shimon and he says he doesn't have the $1,000 to pay. He has $500 to pay. So what's going to be with the remaining $500? So he promises him that he's going to pay the remaining money within a month, within 2 months, whatever. So how does he know? I lent you the money 10 years ago and it's already Zman HaPiron is today, you don't have the $1,000. So why should I trust you for another month or 2 months? Maybe I should go to Bezin. Bezin should confiscate your property. They should take away your character. They should take away your television, your automobile, whatever you have. So he pleads with him and he says, I'll make a deal with you. I'll pay you the $500 now. And the remaining $500, if I don't pay up within the next month, I should owe you a full $1,000. In other words, you're going to pay him $1,500. Like double or nothing. Not exactly double. He'll owe him $1,500, and then he'll be able to go to court, and the court will confiscate his property, and it'll turn out in the end, he'll collect $1,500. So really, the Mishnah should have discussed the topic of ribbis. I lent you $1,000 5 years ago, and it's due today, and today you pay me $500, and then if it turns out that you don't pay the remaining $500 within a month, then I collect another $1,000, which means I got, $1,500 on a $1,000 loan. So for some strange reason, the Mishnah does not discuss the issue of ribbis. The Tanoim left it up to the Rashbo. The Mishnah doesn't discuss it, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, they left it up to the Rashbo. So the Rashbo discusses it. Maybe there is an issue of ribbis. It's not going to be an Issa Ribbis Deraisa. So last week I think we discussed the 4 different levels of Ribbis. This one is Ribbis Kitzutza and the other 3 are Ribbis Derabana. So this wouldn't be an Issa Ribbis Kitzutza Deraisa, because originally when I lent you the $1,000 5 years ago, the agreement was that you're going to pay back $1,000 when the time comes. Then later, as it turns out, he pays them $1,500. But it wasn't agreed upon by Melech HaTchilah. So it probably would not be considered Ribbis Kitzutza. That, rather, the case that I discussed is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raita. Some hold that it is Ribbis Kitzutza. Why? If he gives Harbachas Hazman, Ribbis Kitzutza means I lend you $1,000 and I say I want 10% interest, and at the end of the year I want to get back $1,100. Or at the end of 5 years, whatever he makes up with him, he says, I'm lending you the money, B'shas Matan Moed, I lend you $1,000 and I want to get back so much extra after the 5 years. What about over here? I lend you $1,000 and the agreement is after 5 years you should pay back $1,000. Then it comes the end of the 5 years and he doesn't pay up, he doesn't give the money. So he pays back $500 and he says the remaining $500 I'll pay back within a month, and if I don't, and give me a break, give me Havachas Hazman, let me have another month to pay it up. If you want to be a mean guy, you don't have to agree. You can insist you want to go to Bezin, and Bezin will confiscate my automobile, and that'll be the end. They'll collect the $4,000 today. But if you'll be kind enough and do me the taifa to give me a harvachas hazman, to give me another month or two, or 6 months, whatever it is, to pay the remaining $500, so then we make this deal. Then in the event that I don't live up to this agreement, I don't pay you the remaining $500, then you should collect an additional $500. So it'll come out that you're collecting $1,500 on a loan of $1,000. So some Shonim will say that it is a Ribbis Kitzutza Deraisa, because the agreement to pay the extra was agreed upon at the Shas Harvachas Hazman. That's a Machlekes the Rambam and the Raita. If B'Shas Harvachas Hazman, they agree to pay, he gives him an extra 6 months, he gives him an extra month to pay the remaining $500, is that considered like Ribbis Kitzutza like Bishas HaHavah, when I lend you $1,000, I say, here's the $1,000 cash, and I want you to pay me extra. So is this also called the Ketzitza? The Ketzitza Bishas HaBrachas HaZman, is that the same as the Ketzitza Bishas HaHavah? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam. Okay. So the Mishnah in Bava Basra discusses this, doesn't raise this issue of ribbis, doesn't discuss the topic of ribbis. That's what the Rashba discusses. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that it should be a problem of ribbis? So the Rashba quotes some Gaonim who are of the opinion, I think the Bahag, I forgot already, quotes some early Gaonim, Rishonim who say, there's a Chidusha HaRashba in Bava Basra. It's printed in the later editions of the Chidusha. The earlier editions didn't have it. The more recent additions have it from Kisveyan. So the Rashba quotes some Rishonim say a word that's relevant to halacha very much, that there's no prohibition of ribis when it's a payment as a knas. Let's say, normally if I lend you $1,000 and I give you 5 years to pay up, so I said if you pay up in the end of the 5 years, pay back $1,000. So that's, if I'll say I want extra, if I say I want you to pay me more than the $5,000 that I'm lending you, because of the Hamtana Sazman, that would be a ribis deraisa. But what happens, let's say, we have Maisim Mechol Yom, let's say someone goes to the dentist or to the doctor or whatever, he owes money, he bought merchandise and he owes the money, either he was spoiling for the dentist or the doctor, so he owes for the delivery of the merchandise, and then he doesn't pay, and it takes him a long time till he finally pays. And they keep on sending letters and letters and letters, and it costs them money. Every time they send a letter, they have to pay for the postage, they have to pay the secretary to check up, to make phone calls, they keep on passing, till they finally get paid their money. So a lot of the companies and a lot of the doctors and the dentists add on a finance fee. They add on a little knas, a penalty, because you're poshea. So some achrayim say that that's mutter. The Pischei Tshuva and Yerideya, Hilchas Ribis, beginning in the second Chelik Yerideya, has all the dinim of Ribis. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes some achrayim to say that there's no Issa Ribis over there. There's not even an Issa Ribis Derabbana, because there it's a knas for being poshea, because it's not paying on time. It's not the same as charging interest for the Hamtana Samoas. If you charge for Hamtana Samoas, that's Ribis. But you're not charging for the Hamtana Samoas, you're charging because he's late. He's poshea, he didn't pay on time, he's late. So the Rashba and there, and that Mishnah quotes some guy and will say that that's the reason why there's no Ribis the Rabbanan here.
Why is it where he owes $1,000 to his $500,
and he has 6 months? I'll pay you $500, but not allow you $1,000. Why should we consider the need to be He's not asking for it. The other person who was presented with it. Let's say that's also an Issa Ribis. Let's say I come to you and I plead, do me a favor. I went to the bank. The bank is prepared to lend me the $100,000, but they want 10% interest. I say, do me a favor, please, lend me $100,000 with only 5% interest. So you'd be happy to do that. So even though the loiver is begging the malva to do him a favor, it's still an issa ribis deraisa. There was some gedolim, some Adam Gadol wrote a sefer, it's 150 years ago. So he wrote in his sefer that the issa ribis deraisa is only if the fellow is a loan shark. If the malva is hunting out for a victim, the malva is looking for a victim in order to charge him ribis. But if the loiva comes and begs the malva to lend him and to do him a favor, so that to begin with is only ribis derabbanan. Once you start like that, it's only ribis derabbanan. So if you pile up enough reasons that, like in Hilchos Shabbos, you have a shuz de shuz is more kal than one derabbanan. So shuz de shuz, the makam mitzvah is mutas. And Hilchos ribis also, if you pile up enough reasons why it's not ribis deraisa, so sometimes it becomes muta legamre. Sometimes you knock it down to a level of derabana. You have enough reasons why it's not deraisa, it becomes hetegomre. So one big dilem wrote like this in his sefer, that if the loiva is pleading with the malva, do me a favor and lend me the money beribis, so that to begin with is not ribis deraisa, and then if you add on more to that, so that that'll sometimes be hetegomre. So one of the dilem, who was a contemporary of his, Rav David Navardike, wrote a sefer, Galya Masechta. He was the contemporary of Chaim Volozhiner. He delivered a famous hesped when Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away. He once had a din Torah and he had a sichsich with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So after Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away, so he delivered a very nice hesped to indicate that he had no tainus, he had no tarumus against him. So this Rav David Navardike has a tshuva about this. He doesn't want to identify who this Adam Gadol was, because he says that it's absolutely incorrect. He holds that it's an issa ribis deraisa mamish. not only if the malva is a loan shark who's out to make himself richer than before, even if the malva is really doing the loiva a favor. Let's say the malva has his money in a CD account and he's getting whatever, let's imagine 10% interest, and the loiva says, I want to borrow money from the bank, they're going to charge me 15% interest, do me a favor and you'll only charge me 5% interest. I'm going to lend him money 5%, I'm going to be losing money. I have the money in the CD account, I make 10% interest. I'm going to give it to him, I'm going to only get 5%. So Mom is doing him a favor and I'm losing money and he's pleading with me to do him a favor. So we assume that that's an Issa Derais. That's an Issa Ribis Derais. Even though I'm only asking him to make good the hefsid that I would have had from the bank, it's still an Issa Ribis Derais, because Alamais, I'm only giving you $1,000 and you're going to pay me back more than $1,000. So that's an Issa Ribis Derais. It says in Shulchan Aruch that it's even an Issa Ribis Derais in the following case. Let's say my son Echreis wants to buy a home. No. My son wants to buy a home. He has no savings. So if he'll go to the bank, they won't give him any loan. I have a little savings, so I'll go to the bank, they'll give me a loan. So I go to the bank, let's say I borrow $100,000, let's say, and I agree to pay the bank whatever 15% interest, whatever interest they collect. And then I take the money, $100,000 that the bank gave me, and I give the check over to my son, and I say, okay, you got it? Here's the money, and this is the agreement with the bank, and you take care of it. I don't want to be achroi anymore. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's an issa ribis derais on my part. I borrowed the money from the bank. The bank is a goyish bank, so I can promise to pay them the 15% interest. That's not a problem. Then when I give the $100,000 check to my son, I'm giving my son $100,000, and I'm telling him, for this $100,000, I expect you to give back, not to me, I expect you to pay someone else, pay the bank for $100,000 plus 15% interest. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that that's an Issa Ribis Derais. Not only if the Ribis goes to me, neither the Karen nor the Ribis goes to me. The Karen with the Ribis goes to the bank. Or let's say I lend you $10,000, and I say, if I would have left the money in the bank, I would have gotten 10% interest achreis in a CD account. And I would have given that money to charity, to tzedakah, or whatever, so I'm giving you $10,000 interest free, but I expect you to give the same amount of money to the same tzedakah, to whatever tzedakah of your choice. So that's also Ribis Derais, because I give you $10,000, and the agreement is you should pay back more than $10,000. $10,000 you give me, and the 10% interest you give the tzedakah. That's considered Ribis Derais. That's Midin Arif. Giving money to somebody else, Al Pi Bakashasi, is considered as if you had given it to me. So that's why we paskin like Tosis. The Rambam does not agree with that. The Rambam Sheet says that that's not the Din of Arif. The Gemara has a Din of Arif in Maseches Kiddushin that you can in the Kaddish and Isha Yidei Arif. But let's say the Chosim is about to give the Kala a ring. The Kala only has 10 fingers, and all the 10 fingers have rings on it. The Kala says, I don't need any more rings. So he says, he wants to Harem Mukodesh is the Tabazu. So he says, give the ring to my girlfriend. So he says, he gives the ring to the girlfriend, he says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, B'tabazu that I give to the girlfriend. So the Gemara says, Mekudeshes Midin Arev. That's what Arev is. I give the money, the Malah gives the money to the Loiva, and the cosigner becomes obligated. The cosigner agreed to pay in the event that the Loiva doesn't pay. So the cosigner agreed to be obligated. So you see that Matan Mo is the one person, Al Pi Bakashasi, is considered as if you had done Matan Mo to me. It can be Mechayiv the Kosan, it can be Mechayiv the Arif to pay the Choyiv to the Malva. So the same over here, Tosis Sheet is like that. The same as by Kiddushin. When I give the ring to a third party, Al Pi Bakashas HaKala, it's considered as if the ring had been given to the Kala. That's how Tosis understood the Gemara. And based on that Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Zayinam and Alva, Tosis writes in Perek Ezel Neshech, who are denami by Ribis, if I lend you $1,000 and I say the $1,000 you pay back to me and the 10% interest you give to the tzedakah, or the full $1,000 with the 10% interest you give to the bank. I borrowed the $1,000 from the bank and I give it to you and I say, and you're going to take care of the bank. So that's considered Ribis Derais. That's considered Ribis Kitzutzim. Still, since you're giving the money to the bank based on my bakasha, I'm obligated to the bank. I borrowed the $100,000 from the bank. I agreed to pay the bank back the $100,000 plus the 15% interest. So when I give you the $100,000 and I tell you, based on this matamos, it should be mechayiv you to give the bank the $100,000 plus the 10% interest, the 15% interest. So that's called ribis ketzutza deraisa. And then the mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch mechaber paskens like Tosfos, not like the Rambam. This is what I just said. This is Tosfos sheet. And then the Rebbe Kiveger and the Pizchei Tshuva say, what happens if you went ahead and you did it? Let's say people do it all the time. They say they borrow money from the bank in order to give to their children, in order to give to an ani. And then they tell the ani or their children, and you take care of all the payments from the bank. So that's an issa ribis ketzutza. So the din is ribis ketzutza is yotze b'dayonim. What do you mean yotze b'dayonim? The goyish bank is mechuyif to give back. The goyish bank didn't do any aveir. They're not mechuyif to give back. I'm mechuyif to give back. So hatamaisa, I did you a favor. I took out a $100,000 loan from the bank and I agreed to pay the bank 15%. I give you the $100,000 loan and I say, you take care of everything. So later on, I have to pay you back. If you'll request it, Yotze B'dayanim, I will have to reimburse you the 15% interest that you gave to the bank. Because the Ribis Ketzut says Yotze B'dayanim for the Malva. The Malva has to pay back the 15%, not the third party who got the money. That's how Rabbi Kiveger and the other friend point out that in such a case, it will be Ribis Deraisa. Anyway, getting back over here again. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Kiveger says like that. Others can disagree. This, the Galia Masechta and the other one, they were contemporaries of Rabbi Kiveger. So he's entitled to express his opinion. I don't know who this Adam God was. He doesn't identify who it is. So the Mishnah in Bava Basra, the topic of Asmachta, there's one kind of Asmachta. If you have a Din de Rabbanan, you have a Pasuk, so the Gemara says it's only an Asmachta. That's a different kind of Asmachta. It has nothing to do with this. But this Asmachta is like this. The Mishnah has a case in Bava Basra, Kuf Samaches, where there's a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi in the following case. Just to review again. I lent you $1,000. And I let you keep it for 5 years. Today the 5 years are up and I say, no, where's the $1,000? So you say you don't have the money to pay back. $500 you have to pay back, and the remaining $500, you ask me for an extension. You want to have another month to pay back. So I say, what do you mean another month? You had it for 5 years. Well, you need another month. And then after the month is up, then you're going to tell me another month, and another month, and another, I'm never going to get my money back. So you agree to the following, you make an offer. You say, if you don't pay back the remaining $500 within another month, if I'll be nice enough to extend it, then you agree, double or nothing, you'll agree to pay me back $1,000. So in other words, I'll get back $1,500 instead of $500. So the Mishnah does not discuss, that's what we were covering so far, the Mishnah does not take up the issue of ribis. That's what the Rashba takes up with the Rishonim. Why isn't there a problem of ribis? Some Rishonim say it's mutter because it's a knas. He's not charging the extra money. He's not paying the extra money because of Hamtanas Amos. He gave you 5 years to pay, and he didn't charge a penny for that. He's charging the extra because he's poshea, because he didn't pay on time. So whenever the extra payment is because of the teres knas, we're not paying on time. So some rishonim hold that that's heter gomer. That there's no isa ribis, and many disagree. So that's a shaila halacha lemaisa how one should pass. Okay. So that's an issue of ribis that somehow the Gemara doesn't discuss. They left it up to the rishonim, the achrenim. They discuss. The Mishnah discusses a different angle. This is a topic of Asmachta. What's the definition of Asmachta? So, Tosfos and Ramban and most of the Rishonim understand that Asmachta means the following. A person agrees to a deal, Al Hatnai. Over here he says, I'll agree to pay you an additional $500 if I don't pay up the $500 that I owe you within a month. You're extending this man ha-halvoa. $500 he pays today. Let's say the case that the Mishnah describes. $500 out of the $1,000 loan he pays today. And the remaining $500 he doesn't have today. So he begs the malva to extend the loan for another month. And then he says, and if I don't pay the remaining $500 another month, I'll pay you back an extra penalty of another $500. So what, the lawyer is really interested in paying an extra $500? No, he doesn't want to pay. He only agreed to this Tanai, he agreed to the Ischaivus of the original $500 ala Tanai, thinking there's an umdir in the Mukhar, but he thinks it's never going to come me day Kiyama Tanai. I'm going to see to it, I'm going to hustle in the extra month that I have to make sure I'm going to borrow money from everybody to make sure that I pay up the loan within the extra month, so I'll never have to become a weev to pay the extra $500. So that means it's a Kinyan, here the Kinyan happens to be a Ischaivus on an additional $500. A Kenyan ala Tanai, where there's an umdud in the muchach, it's very obvious that he thought that it never will come the day kiyama tonight. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. So one Tana says, what do I care that there's an umdud in the muchach that he thought that it will never come the day kiyama tonight, but he agreed to it. He agreed to the deal. What do I care what his projection is? He thinks it's going to rain, he thinks it's not going to rain. I'm not going to mean it. He said, Harei Mekudesh just be if it rains. So what do I care? He thought it wasn't going to rain. If he would have realized it's going to rain, he never would have proposed to the girl to say, Harei Mekudesh just be if it rains. Tough luck, but that's what you said. You said if it rains, Harei Mekudesh just be. And it rained. So she's Mekudesh. The other time it says, no, that an umdud in the mucha, if it's a case where it's obvious that he's accepting a penalty payment upon himself, which Meshuggah wants to pay extra money, is accepting a penalty payment upon himself. If he doesn't pay the remaining $500 within a month, he should have to pay an additional $500. So since it's an umdin al-mukhach that he thought that it would never come to get kiyama tonight, that's the equivalent of an umdin al-mukhach that he doesn't really want the whole thing. That there's no das makna on the whole deal. We do this all the time by tzedakah. Let's say the mashgiach is out for this talmid, he always comes late to the Beis HaMedrash. He always misses davening. He always comes late to the davening, comes late to the seder, whatever. So he says he's going to kick him out of the yeshiva because he's coming late. So the Talmud promises the next time he comes late, he's going to give $100 to tzedakah. What, the Talmud is interested in giving $100 to tzedakah? He wants the money himself. That's his way of promising the mashgiach that he shouldn't kick me out. I'm going to make sure that I come on time. And next time he comes late again. So does he really have to give the money to tzedakah or not? So that's what we mentioned maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says that asmach, even though asmach the lo kanya, even though he passed like the Tana, machlek zavyun Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah, he passed like Rabbi Yosi, that asmach the lo kanya, that you don't have to pay, but legabi tzedakah, you don't say asmach the lo kanya. If the fellow promises to give money to Hegdish, or to tzedakah, even though it's in the knife of asmach, he says asmach to his kanya. The reason that was given by the it's a Mordechai Bolakam, it quotes Rabbeinu Nisana. He quotes one of the Bali Ataisis, not quoted so often. Rabbeinu Nisana is not such a popular name in the Taisis. It's one of the Bali Ataisis. So the reason that he gave was a questionable reason. The Rabbeinu Nisana claimed, as quoted by the Mordechai in the middle of Bava Kama, that Asmach de lo kanye, the whole din of Asmach de lo kanye is only the Rabbanan. In our Torah, there is no such thing. The fellow agreed to the deal, Allah Tanai. So what do I care that he thought that it never would come to fruition? He thought that it'll never come to the Kima Tanai. But he agreed to the deal, so a deal is a deal. So Minatay Rasmach is Kanye, the whole din of Asmach de lo kanye, I don't have to pay you the money, it's only the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanah, they never made such a takwana to be mafsid stopper, to be mafsid hegdish. That's the hezbah that's given by the Rabbeinu Nisana. That's what we mentioned, there's a sugi in the middle of Nedorim. In the middle of Maseches Nedorim, there's a sugi where they discuss the topic of Asmachta. In the Lamed, I forgot about it. No, in Chav Ches, I think. In Nedorim, there's a discussion of Asmachta. So the Keren Oiro, in his Chibur on Nedorim, asks Akasha, how can you say that Asmach de lo kanye is only a din of the Rabbanan? The Gemara in Adat, Chafayim and Al, learns it out from a Pasuk. We'll soon learn in a minute. The Gemara learns it out from a Pasuk, 10 lines from the top of Adat, that Asmach de lo kanye. So you see, it's a din de rais, it's not a din de Rabbanan. So Leoilam, you can say the same din of the Rabbanan and Sama with a different hezber. That when do you say that if I agree to pay you an extra $500, if I don't pay the remaining $500 within a month, why should I want to give you an extra $500? So the only reason why I agreed to it is because I thought that I'm going to see to it that I'll pay you the extra, I'll pay you the $500 on time. It'll never come to fruition, I'll never have to pay. So the only time you say that an umdin in the mucha, that the fellow thought will never come with the kima tonight, is the equivalent of an umdin in the mucha, that he doesn't want all the schaivas. That's only if the schaivas is lehedyot. But if the schaivas is letzdokah, the schaivas is lehegdish or something like that, then the umdin in the mucha chizari, it does mean to be mischaivas. He doesn't want to cheat Hekdish. To a bus of Adam, to another, Binam Lachaveira, he doesn't want to give him extra money. So Umdud al-Mukhah, that he never meant to be Mishabed himself. But to give money to Tzedakah, yeah. If he promised to give to Tzedakah, yeah. You can say it like that. You can say the same psak of the Rabbeinu Nisana without giving his hezbet to say that it's only the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, they didn't want to cheat Hekdish, they didn't want to be Mapsed Tzedakah, Mapsed Hekdish. But that's not the pshat that the Rabbeinu Nisana did. So again, that's the original Mishnah. The original Mishnah of Machlekes, of Yudin and Rabbi Yosi, whether Asmach de Kanya, Asmach de Lakanya, In that case, Hamashki Shtoroi, Hapare Miktas Choivoi, I paid part of the debt. When it comes to Zman HaPiroin, the Lord will borrow money from the Malvin, it comes to Zman HaPiroin, and he doesn't have money to pay the whole debt, so he pays whatever he has. And then he asks for an extension, and he promises in the event that I don't pay on time, I'll pay you extra. So and it's only then in the Muchach that he didn't think they would ever come with Dekar. So we passed him that's equivalent to an umdin in the Muchach that he doesn't want to hold his chayvus in the first place. So this is the Vertach problem. What is Tanoim all about? The Rishonim introduced a minig of Tanoim. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. The Rishonim introduced the minig of Tanoim. It wasn't only by the Balei HaTos and by the Ashkenazim. The Rambam quotes it also by the Chachmei Sforah. A couple would get engaged, and the boy and the girl would promise each other they're going to get married within a reasonable amount of time, a year, year and a half, whatever, half a year, whatever they would make up. And then they would say, each one would say, and if I back out from the shidduch, I promise to pay you $10,000. And the girl says, if I back out from the shidduch, usually the father's promise. If my son backs out from the shidduch, I promise to pay the girl's family $10,000. The girl's father says, if my daughter backs out from the shidduch, I promise to pay $10,000. So why did they obligate themselves to pay $10,000? Because they thought they were so madly in love, they thought they're not going to back out from the shidduch. It's a hischaivus mom and ala tanai on a condition. In a case where there clearly was an umdin and a muhach, they were so madly in love. The umdin and the muhach is that it'll never come lidei kiyum tanai. So that's mamish and asmachta. So that's the question that the Rambam quotes, that question. And the Balei HaTos discuss it. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the question with the answer. Shulchan Aruch quotes this whole discussion. Why is tanai legally binding? Why don't you say that asmachta lo kanya? You should say that even though they made a Kabbalah's kinyan, it's not binding if anybody backs out from the shidduch. Nobody has to pay a penny because it was ala tanai and it clearly was an umdin and a muhach that they thought that it would never come the day kima tanai. That's the question. So the Balei HaTos give different answers. One of the answers that they give is the following. What's the whole idea of tanoim? What is it all about? Why should I give money to the other party? Because there's embarrassment involved. Let's say if the boy backs out, he must have discovered something about the girl that he didn't know before. Finds out some chisaron about the family or some chisaron about the girl. There's some kind of a problem. If the girl backs out, obviously it's gonna cause embarrassment for the boy that she backed out. There must be some reason why she backed out, just the incompatibility. There must be some reason why there's incompatibility over here. So because there's a little bit of bush involved, so in a certain sense, there should be a chiyuv mitam or a mamazik. Whenever someone is choyv b'chaver, whenever anyone causes bodily harm to somebody else, injury, so the Torah says you have to pay chamisha dvar, you have to pay nezik tzav, yibush shevis, and boshes. You have to pay boshes, you have to pay the embarrassment. So the Mishnah says, however, you only have to pay boshes if you actually choyv b'chaver. I slapped the person, I broke his arm off, I broke his nose, whatever, I blinded him something, so he's going to suffer embarrassment later. What if it's only boshes devarim? I humiliate a person by cursing at him and making fun of him and saying all kinds of words. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but her words can never hurt him physically, but it hurts him, it hurts his ego. So he's very hurt. So the Mishnah says in Bava Kama that you don't have to pay. For boshes devarim, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay the dini yodam. But Mustama Bedina Shamayin, it's like it should be something like Grama Benazikin. That Grama Benazikin, if I caused damage to someone else in an indirect fashion, if I'm an Adamazik Biadain, I make a hezik directly, some chayf to pay, that says in the Torah. Makanevsh Behemi Shalmana, if I killed your behemoth, I have to pay. I broke your automobile, I have to pay. I broke your window, I have to pay. What if I caused the hezik in an indirect fashion? So that's the din, the Grama Benazikin is part. But nonetheless, the Gemara says in Perek HaKoneis, in the sixth Perek in Bava Kama, the Grama Benazikin, even though you fought the Medina Yodim, but Yichai Medina Shemai. So l'chore this, Boshes Dvarim, this concept of Boshes Dvarim, if I cause humiliation or embarrassment to someone else without any physical contact. The Mishnah has like this, if I spit on the person and the saliva lands on his body, then I have to pay Mitam Boshes. But if I spit in front of him and I say all kinds of nasty things, so that's terrible, but I don't have to pay. It's only Boshes Dvar. But, all right, legally speaking, you don't have to pay, but I can understand that, but what loss is your day, probably you should have to pay. It's something parallel to Grama Minizikin. When I make a damage, when I cause damages in an indirect fashion. So Grama Minizikin is part of Medini Yodim Chabdini Shemaim. So here when I cause boshes, sort of in an indirect fashion, when there's no physical contact, it's only boshes Tzvam. So Stom is also part of Medini Yodim Chabdini Shemaim. So Tosis writes that the whole institution of Tinoyim, that the two fathers obligate themselves to pay the Neha Boshes, they obligate themselves to pay a penalty, a Knas Momen, in case the child backs out from the Shidduch, is like a Chiyav HaBoshes Dvar. So you're not Chai B'dina Yodim, but B'dina Shema you are Chai. So you can't say that the Umdin and the Takan may be in love. The boy and the girl are may be in love and they plan to get married. So true, there's an Umdin and the Muchach that they thought that never would come Lidei Kiyum HaTanai. But you can't say that the fact that there's an umdir and a muchach, that each party thought, the chassan and the caliph thought that it'll never come, they came out tonight, this will never come to fruition. They thought no one would ever have to pay. That's the equivalent of saying that there's an umdir and a muchach that they want to become obligated to pay. No. Asvar and Asen is that they should pay. At least Bedina Shemaim they should pay. So if they want to obligate themselves, Bedini Odom, to pay a debt that Bedini Shemaim they ought to pay, so that's not a guzman. There's no reason to say that in such a case, the umdin and the muchach that he thought that it will never happen is equivalent to an umdin and muchach that he doesn't want to hold his chayv. No. He should pay such a chayv. It's like Tosis makes the distinction over here. There's such a gemara. Hey, Rashi gives an example. Rashi on Chav Dalet of the Beis quotes 10 lines from the bottom. He refers you to Bob Mitzia Dafayin Vov. The Rashi writes, "Behechi domi asmachta." What's an example of asmachta that you say asmachta? Lo kanya kigo in the following case. I'm a sharecropper. You own a field. And you rent out the field to whoever wants to pay the rental. So let's say instead of paying $1,000 a year, I'll pay you 10% of the crops. It may turn out to be better than $1,000. If I'll be conscientious and I'll work harder and I'll make more money, so you're going to get more. So what if the agreement is, that was a Bizmana Tanayim, that was a common agreement, that I would rent the right to use your field and I will do all the work, I'll do all the planting and the harvesting and everything, the packaging and the selling, and the agreement is that I give you 10% of the crops. What happens later if I decide to sit and learn in the koil for the year? And I don't do anything. That's called im oiver v'loy evid. If I will leave the sode as a sode boor, I'll just leave it fallow. V'loy evid, I won't do any work at all. So very nice. You're going to rent me the right to use your field, and the agreement is that I pay you 1/5 of the crops and 1/10 of the crops, but that may turn out to be zero. So you request of me that when I rent the field, I should also add another clause, that if I leave the field fallow and I don't do a stitch of work at all, I don't even try to have any crops grow, that I have to pay you a penalty for that. That makes sense. So the Gemara has two cases. What did I promise to pay you? If I say in Oyver Velayed, that if I leave the field fallow and I don't do any work Velayed, Ashalim be Meitva, I will pay a reasonable, Meitva means I'll pay a correct full amount, what this would do, the 10% that you usually get from this, usually 10% of the pairs turns out to be, give or take a little bit, turns out to be $1,000. I say, if I don't do any work, I'll pay you the $1,000 anyway. So that makes sense, then I should have to pay you the $1,000. You could have just as well rented it to anybody else. You had 100 customers requesting that they want to rent it. You wanted to be nice to me. You rented it to me, and the agreement was I'm going to give you 1/10 of the crops. Then I leave it fallow, I don't do any work at all. So you could have easily gotten the $1,000 by renting it to someone else. So that makes sense that I should pay. So then the Gemara says, if I make such an agreement, I do have to pay you the $1,000. But if I say, if I leave it fallow, I'll pay 1,000 golden coins or something, way more than you would have gotten out of the 10% of the crops. Then the Gemara calls that asmachta. Then he says, asmachta lo kanya. Why is there a difference? That's what Tosfos says, there was a misprint in Rashi. Rashi is giving an example. Hechi domi asmachta, 10 lines from the bottom of Chav Dalet and Beis, in the Rashi. Rashi said, hechi domi asmachta, what is an example of asmachta? That asmachta lo kanya. He says, keep going, this case, in oiver v'loyeve, the sharecropper who rents the field from the owner, makes the agreement, if I leave it fallow, I don't do any work, I'll pay the full amount. So Tosfos says, wrong. That's not asmachta lo kanya. That case, you are mechuyif to pay. The case that's called asmachta is in Moivu v'yebed, Ashalom al-Fazuzi, when he promises to pay way in excess, a guzman. He promises to pay an exaggerated amount of money that's way more than he would have ever gotten if he would have worked the field. So Tosis claims that there's a misprint of Rashi. You see, two lines on the bottom of the Tosis they write. Rashi referred you to Gemara in Bava Metzia. He wrote Moivir v'leyabed v'chule. He meant Ashalom al-Fazuzi. And the scribe who was copying over the Rashi, they didn't have a printing press. So the scribe who was copying over the Rashi did us a favor, and he filled in the rest of the sentence, and he filled it in wrong. So he wrote in Moivir v'leyabed, Ashalom emeitva. The case of Ashalom emeitva is not asmachta lo kanya. That case you amukli have to pay. The sharecropper says, if I leave the field fallow and I don't plant, I don't do a stitch of work, I'll pay you the full amount that would be due to you. If it would have been a normal year with a good, healthy crop, that he does have to pay. The only time you call an asmachta is if it's a guzman. What's the difference if it's a guzman, it's not a guzman? So it's very simple why. If I don't plant, the agreement was, it's your field, and I'm renting the field, and the rental is not going to be a fixed amount, it's going to be a proportion of the crops. What if I don't do any work at all? So, strictly speaking, I don't have to pay. That's an Adam Hamazik B'Shevi Al Tasa. If I would have planted, if I would have done all the work, then you would have gotten, give or take, a few dollars, you would have gotten around $1,000. I would have had the $10,000 worth of crops, and the agreement was you get one-tenth, you get 10%, you would have made $1,000. So, because I didn't do any work at all, I didn't do a stitch of work at all, so that's why I maxed you your $1,000. That's an Adam Hamazik B'Shevi Al Tasa. It's Adam Hamazik B'Shevi Al Tasa. He causes a hefsed moment to the other party by not doing anything, that's certainly called gramam and azikim. So strictly speaking, I don't have to pay a penny. But if I accepted upon myself the obligation, so that makes sense. That's like gramam and azikim is part of the yod mechayv din shamayim. So here if I obligate myself to pay you for the hefsed that I caused you, b'shevi al tasa, so the obligation that I'm accepting upon myself corresponds to the chayv din shamayim that ben kol v'kol mechayv to pay. So the Gemara doesn't consider that asmachta lo kanya. You don't say in such a case, the fact that why did I rent it from you, why did I make such an agreement that even if I leave the field fallow, I'll still pay you the $1,000, I'll still pay you a full 10% of what should have grown? Because I thought that I was going to do it at the beginning when I rented the field, I thought I was going to do the work. And then I followed Mishigas, so I decided to sit and learn, and I should have come back to you and have you rent it to someone else. Someone grows the money, you forgot to take care of anything. So, in such a case, you can't say that the umdin in the muchach, that he thought that it would never come l'idei kiyumat tanai, is the equivalent of an umdin in the muchach, that he doesn't want to hold his chayvus at all. Why should he not want to hold his chayvus? Yoshe dictates that he should pay this chiyuv moment. That's grama ben ezik, and his chayvus in ishamayim. So let him pay. Let him taka be mishabed himself to pay what is chayvus in ishamayim. But if he accepts upon himself a guzmedik amount of money, he says, if I leave it fallow, I don't do any work, Ashalom al Fazuzi, I'll pay you $100,000. That's way in excess of the amount that he should have been chayv to pay the Din Shamayim. So then it doesn't make sense. So then you call it Asmachta, Asmachta Lakan. You say, his chayvus ala Tanai, where there's an umdur in the muchach that he thought there would never be a kiyama Tanai, is the equivalent of an umdur in the muchach that he doesn't want to hold chiyuv. Then you say Asmachta Lakan. But in the case when it's Ashalom the Neitva, you can't say that that's equivalent to an umdin and look that he doesn't want this type. Of course he wants this type. It's chayv mitam grama ben ezikin. That is chayv b'dinei shamayim. So that makes sense that he should be mishayv ben himself b'dinei yodam. That's what the Gemara draws the distinction between the two. Okay, yeah. So that's sensible. It's a minimum rent. And so of course he did rent it, he didn't, no one else used the field. So it makes sense that he has to pay them. Yeah. I present it as a penalty, this case you don't have to say it. I present it as a penalty to cover the case of the tnoim. When the couple gets engaged, so Taisus says, all the Rishonim ask the Kasha, what do you mean he obligates himself $10,000, $20,000 if he backs out from the Shidduch? It's the chasam. Why did he obligate? Because he thought each party was so madly in love with the other one. They thought that no one's going to back out. If they would have realized that they're really going to back out, they would have not obligated themselves to pay the money. So why don't you say that asmachta lo kanya? So even if one party does back out, he shouldn't have to pay. That's what Tosfos gives one answer. Tosfos gives a few answers. So one answer Tosfos gives is that since there is boshes dvarim, since there is embarrassment, and boshes dvarim, although you put them in your other, but you chai b'dini shamayim. So whenever the person obligates boshes dvarim, is like a groma ben zik. So since b'dini shamayim, he is chayiv to pay. So Yoshe dictates that when he accepts it upon himself b'dini yodam, that's not a guzla. That corresponds to that penalty that he should have to pay. Then they wouldn't. Then it would be asmachta. Then it would. The whole thing is a guzman. Then it's only when it's biyodoy, when he really had control over the case. That's how Rashi explains. When I had control over the whole case and I was lazy and I didn't do anything about it, so then Yosha dictates that I really should pay. So whenever it's biyodoy, then you say that it's an asmachta, and asmachta is asmachta lokai. Yeah. Where is the pasuk? Where is the pasuk? And what is the other case? Where is the pasuk that you learn out that this is a din deraisa? The way we pass an asmachta lokai, and this machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Yudin, and Rabbi Yosi, the Mishnah Bava Basuk Kuksamachers. So we pass an asmachta lokai. Where's the pasuk? So the pasuk is mentioned in connection with a totally different, in a different context, totally different case that the Gemara quotes over here. Ein echad mehem, 10 lines from the top of Chof Heim and Aleph, is a Mishnah Nazir, in the middle of Nazir. Ein echad mehem Nazir lefish lo nit nazir es el haflo. Cases like this, two people walking down the street, down the road, and towards them is coming another person. So these Reuben and Shimon are having a debate. Who is this person who's coming? He's coming from a distance. So one of them says, I can tell. I have my glasses on. I see that it's Yehuda. The guy says, Bas Hakstachan. It's not Yehuda. It's Yosef. So they're fighting with each other. He says it's Yehuda. He says it's Yosef. So he says, I'm so positive that I am right that it's Yehuda. If you are right that it's Yosef, Hareni Nazir. He accepts upon himself the Ned and the Ziris as a penalty. If I'm wrong, I accept and then it is. They're playing games. And the other guy says, I'm so positive that I'm right, that you're wrong. I accept upon myself that if you are right, I'm positive that it's Yosef, and you shouldn't argue with me. And if it turns out that I'm wrong, I accept upon myself and then it is as a penalty, as a punishment. And then it turns out that one is right and one is wrong. They're both wrong, whatever. It turns out that it's a totally different person. Or it turns out one of them is right and one of them is wrong. So the Mishnah starts off and says, whoever was right is not a Nazir, whoever was wrong is a Nazir. That's what he said. I'm so positive that it's Yosef. If I'm wrong, I really know this. If it turns out that he's wrong, he's a Nazir. Comes Rav Tarfon and says, no, ain't Echemahem Nazir. Nobody's a Nazir. Why is no one a Nazir? Lefish la nitno nazirus ela lahaflo. Because it says in the Chumash, Isho Isho kiyafli linder neder nazir lahazel Hashem. It says in the pasuk, a man or a woman, the din of naziris doesn't only apply to men, it applies to women also. It's a pasuk, ish, mishnah is like that, but it's a pasuk in chumash. Isha, isha, kiyafli, linda, neda, nozer, lahazel, Hashem. What does the word kiyafli mean? So Rashi in chumash writes, yafli, lefarish, bisvaso. Parley balaz. Rashi writes, parley, to speak. Parley balaz. Rashi in chumash writes like that. So Rav Tarfon says that the word haflo, kiyafli, linda, means it should be klar, it should be very clear cut at the time that he pronounces the neder, that there is a neder. But if it's a neder, ala tanai, like this, he says, hareni nozir if you are right. Why does he say hareni nozir if you are right? Because I say that I know what I'm talking about and you don't know what you are. I keep on insisting I'm right and you keep on insisting that you're right. And to emphasize how right each one is, each one says, "Hareni mekabel alai ned in his ears." If you're right, I'm so positive. I don't want to become a nazir. You don't want to become a nazir. Each one says, "I'm so positive." Hareni nazir. If you're right, so he didn't really mean. That's what Rav Tarfon says. Rav Yudah says, "Mishum Rav Tarfon liyoyv amein echmem nazir l'fishin l'ndit nazir se'el l'haflo." That pasuk, "Isha isha ki yafli haflom," is the source of this idea of asmachta lokanya. Now, this asmachta lokanya is not only a din in his chayvus moment. I'm mishabbing myself moment to another party. It's a din whenever you have any maisa that needs das, halot tanai. Here it said neder naziris. Neder naziris needs das. A person who's a lot by das can take a neder naziris. And neder naziris Allah tonight. You can take a neder naziris Allah tonight. Let's say the guy says, Harini nazir if my wife has a baby boy. Mishnahs have like that. Harini nazir if and when my wife has a, let's say they're married a few years, they have no children. So he says, Harini nazir, I'll be so happy and so thankful to the Baruch Shalom. Harini nazir if and when my wife has a baby. So it says, when the wife has the wrong thinking, that I'm not wrong. It'll never come the day fruition. It'll never come the day kach that I have to become a nazir. So that's called asmachta lokani. Never there's a maisa al hatanai. Doesn't have to be a maisa hischaivis moment. Doesn't have to be like tanoim, by the couple who gets engaged, or by the fellow who is postponing, he's delaying the payment. He's asking for an extension for the zman afirot. He was just a net in the Ziris Allah tonight when there's an umdin in the Muchach that it probably will never come the day Kach. Probably never come the day Naziris. So we pass the Lalocha, Enech Mem Nozir. That's the Pshat that Taisus learned. That's Shitas HaTaisus and the whole topic of Asmachta, how you understand the din of Asmachta Lokani. And that's HaTaisus and Rashi and Ramban. That's how they all read the story over here by the gamblers. Why do people gamble over here? Let's say they're playing cards for money. They're so interested in giving money, shanking money to the other person. No, the reason why they're gambling is because they think that they're going to win. You can't say over here that he... See, here it's different. People gamble... say the dice. The Sakhi Bikubi, they're playing with these little cubes. They're playing dice. There's no way to control it at all. He doesn't have any control at all over the case. So here it's a question. According to Rashi, that's exactly the tilpul in the sugya. Does the topic of Asmach, does the concept of Asmachta Lokanya only apply in a case where there's a Maisa Al Hatanai? Where there's an umdid in the muchach that I was convinced that it's never going to come the day kimatai. Why was I convinced? Because it's the odi. I control it. Like over there. I planned to do the work on the field. I didn't plan to leave it fallow. I don't know what happened later on. I changed my mind. Or let's say, I was convinced that my eyesight is better than your eyesight. So I thought that I have total control over the game. Turns out later I made a mistake. Or I thought that I'm going to see to it that I'll raise the remaining $500 within the extra month, the extension. It didn't occur to me that I won't be able to raise it. I thought I have so many friends, I'll just speak to all of my friends, and I'll get all the money and I'll pay it back. So whenever it's beyond the, whenever I have control over the case, then we understand that it's called Asmachta and Asmachta Lokanya. Over here by the gambler, it's not beyond the world, it doesn't really have any control. So what can you say over here? It's a hischaivis moment, the gambling for money, it's a hischaivis moment ala tanai, where there's an umdin in the muchach that he hoped. Let's say the dice. The sachei dekubi, they're playing with these little cubes. They're playing dice, there's no way to control it at all. He doesn't have any control at all over the case. So here it's a question. According to Rashi, that's exactly the tilpul in the sugya. Does the topic of asmach, does the concept of asmachta lokanya only apply in a case where there's a maisa al hatanai, where there's an umdid in the muchach that I was convinced that it's never going to come the day kimatai? Why was I convinced? Because it's the odi. I control it. Like over there. I planned to do the work on the field. I didn't plan to leave it fallow. I don't know what happened later on. I changed my mind. Or let's say, I was convinced that my eyesight is better than your eyesight. So I thought that I have total control over the game. Turns out later I made a mistake. Or I thought that I'm going to see to it that I'll raise the remaining $500 within the extra month, the extension. It didn't occur to me that I won't be able to raise it. I thought I have so many friends. I'll just speak to all of my friends and I'll get all the money and I'll pay it back. So whenever it's beyond the, whenever I have control over the case, then we understand that it's called Asmachta and Asmachta Lokanya. Over here by the gambler, it's not the other world. It doesn't really have any control. So what can you say over here? It's a hischaibus momen, the gambling for money. It's a hischaibus momen ala tanai, where there's an umdin in the muchach that he hoped it would never come like dekimana. Can't say that he thought. He can't say there's an umdin in muchach that he thought it would never come like dekimana. How can he think there's not going to come? A 50-50 chance, maybe, yeah, maybe no. So he's gambling, it's all chance. It's a lot beyond over here. So Rashi learns that's exactly the machloikis in the Gemara. And Rashi has the gears in the Gemara, Kolki Hagavna Lavas Machtehi, that we paskin in such a case here. On Dab Chavdal and Amid Beis, around 7-8 lines from the bottom. Rav Sheshes Omar, Kolki Hagavna, a case of Asachik Bekuvi with a gambling for money. This you can't really call Asmachten to say Asmachta Lokanya. Why? So Rashi learns because it's not the other, because I don't control, I have no control over the gambling, over the dice. I know in advance that it may or may not turn out that I'll have to pay. You can't say that there's an umdin and muchach that I thought it'll never come when they came out. You can say it's an umdin and muchach that I hoped it wouldn't come. I was hoping that. Well, why do people gamble? Because they hope they're going to win. You can't say because he thought he's going to win. You can say he hoped that he was going to win. So the Rashi learns that's the machlekes hamaroyim. Is this also labeled as asmachta or no? In the maskana, Rashi holds that this is not called asmachta, because it's not the yod, it's not called an asmachta. And there's no iser in gambling. Since it's a game of chance, there's no iser in gambling. Even though I win the money, if I lose, avada, there's no iser. The shabbos, if I win, whoever wins the money, maybe he's gazling the money from the other party. So we paskin, the kol ki ha'gavna lav asmachti, that's Rashi's gears in Nigmar. It's not called asmachta lo kanya over here. And the only reason why the Nesachik Bekuvi is posulated is because he's ain't oisik b'yishuv shalolam, because he doesn't make, because he's a professional gambler. That's why he makes his whole parnasa. But let's say the fellow Yeshlo Umne Shalolu, he has a different parnasa than this, he just does on the side once in a while. Or once in a lifetime he gambles, and he won, so he can't say that he becomes posulated and become gazlan, because it's not asmach dolokai. That's a Rashi read the Gemara. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. Now, Tosfos, we already mentioned part of this. Tosfos raises a problem over here, both over here, at the end of the long Tosfos, gigantic Tosfos. The last two lines in this gigantic Tosfos on Chafem and Aleph, so the last two lines is, what the paskinim sat the kuvia, koni, that you say it's asmach de kanya, that it's not a problem. So Tosfos says, wait a minute, what's going on over here? What are we doing? Let's say we're playing dreidel for money, or playing cards for money. So we all made up. Whoever loses has to pay for the one who wins. Each one's going to pay $10,000. Playing poker for money, whatever. They're going to pay him a lot of money at the end. So just because I promised to give you money makes me muqiv to pay the money. There is no such thing. Don't you have to have a hischaibus? You have to make a kinyan. If you didn't make a kinyan, you're not muqiv to pay. So Tosfos asks, asmachta kanya, asmachta lakanya, the question, did he have the das, did he not have the das? Tosfos, forget about the das, even if he did have the das, but where's the Maaseh Kinyan? If I'm Gomer B'dayti, that I want to obligate myself to give you $100,000, but I never made a Maaseh Kinyan, so it's not legally binding. So what's the whole discussion over here? Forget about the whole issue, whether it is an Asmachta, not an Asmachta. Even if it's not an Asmachta, there is a das, but there's no Maaseh Kinyan. So Tosfos says, no, Kishemboez Shneim al Adas. They're not paying Sachkim Bamon. They're not paying on credit and keeping record who owes who how much money. No, they put all the money in the till on the table, and everybody picked it up, each one picked it up, and he picked it up to make a Maaseh Kinyan. He said, if you lose, I'm making the Kinyan now. And then each one of the players picks it up and says, and if you lose, I'm hereby making the Kinyan. So the Kinyan was made on the money. The only question is, was there a Das Makna? There was a Das Makna ala Tanai, but there was an Umdin and Mucha that he thought that he's going to win. He didn't think that he's going to lose. Rashi said he can't really say that he thought he's going to win. How did he think he was going to win? He was hoping he was going to win. So that's a machlekes, but they say asmachta lo kanya in this case. That's what Tosfos says. According to this assumption of Tosfos, that you can only obligate yourself to give money to someone else if you make a legally binding kinyan. If I just promise to give you $100,000, I don't have to pay the money. I'm not mechuyev to pay. Unless I take a neder or a shvuah. Take a shvuah, I'm going to give you the money. Okay, so the shvuah is binding. In Yeridei, it says you have to fulfill your shvuah. But if I don't say hareni nishbay, if I don't say I swear, we just make up. Whoever loses pays the other guy. No neder, no shvuah. So just because I lost, so what's, but why is it legally binding? The Tosfos says not legally binding. You have to make a maaseh kinyan. So if that's true, if the assumption of Tosfos is true, so how do you read the original story in Bava Basra? What was the story in Bava Basra? I lent you $1,000 for 5 years. 5 years? Come to Zman, you don't have the $1,000. You only have $500. I say, no, I'm gonna go to Bezin, they should confiscate your automobile, whatever, confiscate whatever property you have around the house. And you plead Rachmanis, no, don't go to Bezin, give me an extension of another month. And in the event that I don't pay the remaining $500 in the course of the month, I obligate myself to give you a penalty, an extra $500. So it's a machlekes hatanaim, whether that, any, come the end of the month and he didn't pay the remaining $500, does he have to pay the additional $500 penalty or not? Why should he have to pay $500 penalty? Why is it legally binding? Just because he promised to give an extra $500? Promises, promises, it's not binding. He didn't say a shvuah, he didn't say a neder, he didn't say a shvuah, so why is it binding? So that's the kasha that all the Rishonim is. So the Ran and the Dorim, on Daf Chav Ches, there's a major source about Asmachta, that's one of the major sources. So the Ran and the Dorim deals with this, so he says, oh, the answer is as follows. The answer is as follows. What he meant to say was like this. I come to you and I say, okay, your 5 years are up, pay me the $1,000. So you say, I don't have the whole $5,000. I don't have the whole $1,000, I have $500. I say, what good is $500? I need the $1,000. So you say, I'll tell you what, I give you now $500, Allah Tanai. If I pay back the remaining $500 within a month, then this was installment A, and the end of the month is installment B. 500 and 500 is 1,000. If I don't pay the remaining $500 by the end of the month, you have the right to consider the $500 that I gave you now as a matona, and I still owe you the full $1,000 as a halvor. Otherwise, if he pays now the $500 as partial payment, so half of the debt is paid. So how are you going to become a chiyuv to obligate, how do you create a shibud to give an additional $500? Based on what? Based on thin air. He never made a hischayrus to What's legally binding him to pay the additional $500? So that's what the Ran says in the Dorin. The famous pshat he quotes in the name of the Balei Atah, he says, the pshat must be that he's giving him the $500 now ala tanai. If it turns out that I'll pay the remaining $500 by the end of the month, so this should be the first installment of the payment, today's $500 and the $500 at the end of the month, and the second installment. But if it turns out that I don't pay the second installment by the end of the month, $500 is a maton of the alma, and the mele, the chol is still the top four, I still owe you the $4,000. That's how they run it. Other Rishonim touch it up a little differently, but basically it's the same as the same as Shitas HaTesis. The premise being throughout that one cannot create a hischaidus moment to someone else. You cannot create a debt, an obligation to pay money to someone else, unless you make a kinyan. You have to make a kinyan shtar or a kinyan sudr, or some kind of a hischaibus. You can't just say, I can't just make a declaration. I hereby obligate myself to give you an additional $500, a penalty if I don't pay on time. Just because you make such a declaration doesn't make you legally binding. It's not legally binding to pay. So that's what Tosfos interprets all the Gemaras like that. The gamblers are not paying on credit. They put the money on the table and they picked up the dish and everyone made a kinyan. And in the case in Bava Basra, he made it legally binding that he should have to pay the additional $500. The Rambam...
Isn't that
pasuk is by the Shvua. If he says Harini Nishba or Harini Noder, and he finishes up properly, so Harini Nishba is a Shvua, and Harini Noder is a Neder, and that's Hakala Yetzim Pib Yasa. But if a guy just says, just like this, I like you, and I hereby obligate myself to give you a matana of $100, $1,000. So most of the Rishonim say, I don't have to pay the money. Kala Yasin Piviyata only applies when he says a neder or a shvu. If he doesn't say harini noida, doesn't say harini nishba, it's neither of the above. Nishkan neder and nishkan shvu. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchas Mechire quotes this din of Asmachta, Lo Tanya, and he writes as follows. He writes a lot of strange things there. So one of the strange things that he writes is the following. He says, Asmachta is a Maisa ala Tanai, which doesn't work. That's just the general description. That's all the cases. A Maisa ala Tanai he obligated himself to pay the additional $500 ala tanai, and it's not legally binding. Or he took a net in his divas ala tanai, it's not legally binding. He obligated himself to pay if he loses the card game, the poker game, and it's not legally binding. So all these cases, some maisa ala tanai, where I say the parsha, there's a parsha in chumash of tanai. I can be mekadesh anisha ala tanai, I can give a get ala tanai, I can be mafresh shuma ala tanai, I can give a matana, I can do a mechira ala tanai, I can do all kinds of things ala tanai. And here, asmachta is an exception to the rule. It's a case where you did a legal action ala tanai, and the whole thing falls flat on its face. So the Rambam writes, and how do you decide whether it's the din of the parsha of tanai does take effect, or the din of asmachta applies? When do you say it is valid, when do you say it's not valid? So he says, he's going to give you the whole secret. So he writes like this. If I made, I have a field, I have a house, whatever, and you made a kinyan, I want to sell you the house, I give you the house for matana. But with a string attached. Let's say I give you a house for matana with a string attached. I need someone to accompany me, I'm going to go mountain climbing, I'm going to go skiing, whatever. I need somebody to go along with me, I need some company. So you made a kinyan on the house, and I say it's ala tanai, the matana of the house is ala tanai, that you accompany me. So the Rambam says that's legitimate, that's perfectly legal. If you accompany me on the skiing trip, the house is yours. If you don't accompany me on this skiing trip, so the house is not yours. That was the tanai, that was the condition. But what happens if I say like this, you didn't make a kinyan on the house. I say like this, if you are nice enough to do me a favor and accompany me on the skiing trip or wherever, on the mountain climbing, then I authorize you to go make a kinyan on the house and it's yours the matana. And then you accompany me and I say thank you, and then you go and you make the kinyan on the house. So the Rambam says asmachta lo kanya. It's asmachta lo kanya. So the Ramban and Baba Basra writes on Kuf Samaches writes, he doesn't know what in the world the Rambam said over here. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between the two cases? In each case, well, in one case I thought more so that you're going to accompany me than in the other case. No, exact same case. The whole difference between the two cases is that the Rambam explains the whole difference. The whole difference is, did he make the kinyan on the house already? Did you make the kinyan chazok on the house already? Or did you not yet make the kinyan on the house? If he didn't yet make the kinyan on the house, I said, if you do me this favor, I hereby authorize you to go make a kinyan on my house. So you went and you did the favor, and then I had already authorized you from a month ago, then you go on your own and you make a kinyan on the house. So that's no good. So then it's called asmachta lo kanya. What has it got to do with asmachta lo kanya? So the Rambam understood the whole Gemara differently, totally not like Rashi and Tosfos. It has nothing to do with the way Rashi and Tosfos learned. You see, Rashi and Tosfos learned the story of Rav Tarfon. What was the case? Reuben and Shimon walking down the highway and they see somebody coming towards them. And I say that it's Yehuda, you say that it's Yosef. And each one keeps on fighting. No, I say it's Yehuda and you say it's Yosef, back and forth. And then I say, Hareni Nazir with what? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban say that the pshat is, I say, I am so positive that I'm right. If you're right, I'll eat my hat. I say, if you're right, Hareni Nazir. I'm accepting that in his ears as a penalty. As a knas upon myself, if it turns out that you're right, I'm just trying to emphasize that I'm right. That you don't know what you're talking about, I know, I'm right. So that's called asmachta. He took a net in the ziras ala tanai, and there was an umdad al-muchach that he thought it was never going to come to fruition. He thought, I thought my eyesight was better than yours, or I thought I have the better chush to size up the whole circumstance. I thought for sure it's Yudith, not Yosef. That's how Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam learned. The Rambam says, no. I say that it's Yehuda, and I say Hareni Nozer if it is Yehuda, not Hareni Nozer if it's not Yehuda. It's not that I'm trying to emphasize that I'm right and you're wrong, and if you're right, I'll eat my hat. If you're right, I'll become a Nozer. No, it's the Hareni Nozer if it's Yehuda. And you say it's Yosef, and you say Hareni Nozer if it's Yosef. So what has it got to do with Asmachta? So the Rambam learns Asmachta totally, and that's the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah. That's the truth of the matter, that's the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah. And that's the Tosfos and the Achronim ask on this Gemara, how did the Gemara know to reinterpret the whole Pshat in the Mishnah with the story of Rav Tarfon with the two people walking down the road and the one is walking towards them? Why did the Gemara reinterpret that the Pshat is, each one said, Hareini Nozer, if you're right, The Parsha Pshat Mishnah and Nazir is not so. Each guy says, I really Nazir if I'm right. They're not the Kabbal Nazirist as the penalty if they're wrong. They say, I really Nazir if it's Yehuda. So the Rambam learned Parsha Pshat, there's no contradiction between the Parsha Pshat and the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Rambam gave a different definition for the whole topic of Asmachta that goes as follows. In Neda Naziris, you don't need a Maaseh Kinyan. You just say Hareini Nazir, you become a Nazir. So what if any Neder is like that? So what if a person says Hareini Nazir if it snows? Hareini Nazir if it rains? Hareini Nazir if this and this happens? So that's a Neda Naziris, Allah Tanai. So the Rambam learns that that's the Machlekes Rav Tarfon and Chachamim. That a Neda Naziris is called with Das alone. You don't need any Maaseh Hagvoah, Maaseh Mashiach, get the Kiddushin. Kiddushin, you have to give a ring, a get, you have to give a shtar. Every case you're talking about a Kinyan, you have to make a Maaseh Kinyan. The Rambam holds whenever there's a Maaseh Kinyan, a Maaseh Ala Tanai, then it's a din of Tanai, then it's not a parsha of Asmachta. What's the definition of Asmachta? Das Ala Tanai. Whenever you just have Das Ala Tanai, so that's a Machlokes. The Rav Tarfon holds that Das Ala Tanai, the Tanai cancels the whole Das and you're left with nothing. If you would have said Hareini Nazir, period, then you become a Nazir. But if you say Hareini Nazir if it turns out to be so and so. So Rav Tarfon holds Le Nitna Naziris El Alafla has to be clear at the time of pronouncing the Neda Naziris that there is a Neda Naziris. And if it's unclear, whether yes or no, so that invalidates the whole Das of the Naziris. The Rambam learns that that's the difference between Asmachta and Tanai by selling the house. He says, if you make a Maaseh, I authorize you to make a Kinyan on that field, on the house, on the condition that you do me a favor later, that you go mountain climbing with me, that you drive me to the Shia. So I say, make the Kinyan now. So if you make the Kinyan now, and then later on, you fulfill the Tanai, you go mountain climbing with me, you drive me to the Shia, then it turns out that the house is yours. Either a Tanai of him or a Tanai Meyachshav, two kinds of Tanai. Sometimes the Tanai will only, the Kinyan will only take effect if and when. Hareh Mekudash Yisli Im Yerduk Shomim. So if and when it rains, then the Kedushin is done. If we say Hareh Mekudash Yisli Meyachshav Im Yerduk Shomim, so then if it rains tomorrow, then the Kedushin is chal today. That doesn't make a difference whether it's a Tanai of him, which is, has a postponed, has a delayed chalos, or Tanai Meyachshav, it doesn't make a difference. Whenever I gave the ring now, so that's a Maisa Ala Tanai, that's the Parsha of Tanai. But if I say, if you'll do this and this favor for me, I hereby authorize you to go make a Kinyan on my field. Then you go, so what happened so far? Nothing. I just granted Das Makna. I just gave Das Makna Ala Tanai. I said, if you do such and such a pula, then I authorize you to go make a Maisa Kinyan. So Das Makna Ala Tanai is Batla Mavutu. And even though later on you go and you do fulfill the Tanai, you do drive me to the Shir, you do go mountain climbing with me, whatever, you kept me company, whatever my request was, you fulfilled it. But then later on you go and you make the Maaseh Kinyan, that comes out that I expressed the Das Machta Ala Tanai. So the Rambam Shita said Das Ala Tanai, that's called Das Machta. And that's how the Rambam understood the whole Gemara, by the gambling. The Rambam does not learn like Tosfos, that the gamblers put all the money on the table and everybody picked up the dish with the money and everybody made a kinyan ala tanai. No, the Rambam Shita is that if I say I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, you are mechuyav to pay. You are mechuyav to pay. That's how the Rambam writes the Feirush. But that's what we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Mem. Chosh Mishpah quotes that Rambam. That if a person says I hereby obligate myself to give you $100, no strings attached, so the din in Shulchan Aruch is that I have to pay the $100. If I say I obligate myself to give you $100 if it rains tomorrow, so then the Rambam says, oh, that's a Das Ala Tanai. So Das Ala Tanai is called Asmachta, and Asmachta Okai. Not because it's an umdin and mukha that he thought it's never going to happen. He doesn't control the rain. He doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow. He doesn't have the foggiest notion what's in store in the weather. He's not predicting the weather. The Rambam learns Asmachta Okai and nothing at all to do with Rashi and Tosfos Pshat. That he controls it, and he thought he's going to see to it that it's not going to happen. It's an umdin amuchak that he thought it's never going to come to fruition. Nothing like that at all. The Rambam just learns that Das Ala Tanai, that's called Asmachta. So that's how the Rambam learns the whole Gemara. That's the Mishnah Bava Basra. I lent you $1,000. And then it comes as Zman HaPiron, 5 years later, you pay up half of the money, pay up $500, and then you request another month to pay the remaining $500, and then you say if you don't pay the remaining $500, you accept upon yourself an obligation to pay an additional $500. So the Rishonim asks, what's to bind him legally to pay the extra $500? The Rambam says, that's the halacha, that the creator has chayvus you don't need a ma'aser kinyan. To transfer ownership of a bien, if I own karka, if I own the talpalim, I want to transfer ownership to somebody else, then the Rambam writes, you need a ma'aser kinyan. That's the first line in the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, he writes, Ein hanekach nikne b'dvarim. You cannot transfer ownership of property just by saying, Baal Peh, I hereby transfer ownership. But if I want to create a hischaivist moment, all I have to do is make an oral declaration. I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000. It's legally binding. I have to pay you the $1,000. But if I obligate myself to give you $1,000 if it rains, then the Rambam learns that that's called asmachta. The Rambam learns that that's called asmachta. So that's how the Rambam read our Gemara by the gamblers, that the gamblers are playing on credit. But that cannot like Tosfos. If they're playing because they put the money and they all picked it up, that has nothing to do with asmachta. The dafke lehepach from Tosfos, they're playing on credit, and it's a hischai v'sala tanai. And it's not because they hope to win, they think they're going to win, that's not the issue. Das ala tanai is called asmachta. And that's how the Rambam read the Mishnah, everything the Rambam learned differently. The Vilna Goyen in the Bir Avraham, Tosh Mishnah writes that the mocker of the Rambam, where did he get such a different shita? He says that there's a sefer mekach hamem called the Rabbi Goyen, so the Rambam shita is not identical with, but it's based on what it says in Rabbi Goyen's sefer. Totally different from all the other Rishonim. That's the fundamental machlokes over here. The Rambam and the other Rishonim. What is the translation poshut? What is the pirush amilus of the whole topic of asmachta? Machlokes of Rabbi Yosi and Baba Basra and Kuf Samaches. Whether asmachta kanya, asmachta lakanya. What do the words mean? What do the words mean? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and Rov Rishonim hold asmachta means hismich bedaito. He was relying on something. He was hoping that it's going to turn out one way. Or he thought, he was so convinced that it's going to turn out this way, it never even occurred to him that it's going to turn out the other way. So that's why we pask in asmachta lotanya. Since there's an umdat in the muchach, that he thought that it would never come, the day came out tonight, that's the equivalent to an umdat in the muchach, that he doesn't want the whole thing. So that's why it's not, has no validity, it's not binding at all. And the Rambam doesn't learn like that at all. The Rambam just learns he gave a das, hisnech es daito, ala tanai. You could have called any Tanai Asmachta. Asmachta doesn't mean he was relying on something because he's controlling it. Not at all. Asmachta just means Das Ala Tanai as opposed to a Maisa Ala Tanai. Totally different sheet. Okay, that's the Machloikas over here. Whatever is needed for Tanai, he'll make. One of the rules and regulations of Tanai, in order that a Tanai should be valid, you have to have Tanai Kodim L'maisa. So it's talking made, the Tanai Kodim L'maisa, whatever that means. That's also not like it. The Rambam and the Raifa, what the words mean. Tanai Kodim L'maisa. According to the Rambam, every gambler is for sure an asmachta. So that. And the Rambam paskins that the gambler is only pasul la'edus if he's a professional gambler. This is his whole parnassus is based on this. But if the yesh lo'um nisacherus, if he makes the parnassus otherwise, paskins like the Gemara. If they, like Rabbi Yehuda, emasai b'zmanshen, the last two lines in the Mishnah, on chavdalan and the basic, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, emasai, when do you say that the ma'asmachtan, when do you say that the mesachik b'kuvi is pasul la'edus only if ein lo'um nisacherus? Aval yesh lo'um nisacherus, then he's kosher la'edus. Why? So they can't say that the Rambam has the gears to the way we have because kolki hagavna lav asmachti. The Rambam quotes the fairies that it's prohibited to gamble because it's asmachta and it's gezel. The Rambam calls it gezel. So why is he not postulated mitam gazla? So the Vilna Goyen crosses out the gears and he says the Rambam tevisei lemechukos, the Rambam loygaris luhu. The Rambam had a different gears because he writes the fairies that it is and it's a gezel. He says, but that's not the reason that you postulate. It's like the Tosfos that we had last week. The Tosfos was discussing. Tosfos had an assumption that all of these people mentioned in the Mishnah are only postulated from the Rabbanim. No one is postulated from the Torah. Kroivim in the next Mishnah. In the next Mishnah, Chav Zayin on the day, he said, Kroivim are pasul eidus min haTorah. Gazlan shel Torah is pasul eidus min haTorah. But these people are only pasul of the Rabban. So Tosfos worked hard. Why are they all pasul of the Rabban? So Tosfos says, when it came to Asmachta, Masach Mikuvia, the Tosfos said, it's b'shogeg, he didn't really think that that there was anything wrong about it. So that's probably what the Rambam holds, that you can't pasul him. He really is a Gazlan. But you can't passel him even with the Rabbanim mitam gazlan because it's b'shogeg. So you only passel him if zayin oisik b'yishuv b'shalom. That's what the Gro says. The Rambam did not have this gears. The Rambam writes to the Pharisee that it is asmachta. Yeah, okay. Then the Mishnah continues to discuss. The Mishnah lists off all of the people who are possible with the Rabban. So the first was Mesachik Bikuvi, the gambler who wins, money. And then the next one's Hamalva Beridis. So we discussed already last week this Gemara. The Gemara on Chofem and Aleph, or Rava, makes a comment. Not only the Malva Beridis is Pasolatus, if I lend you, let's say, $1,000 and I charge you, let's say, 10% interest, at the end of the year, you have to pay me back $1,100. I lent you $1,000 and I expect back $1,100 at the end of the year. So not only am I in violation of an Issur Ribis, the loiver who accepted the loan under these conditions is also in violation of an Issur Ribis. And the sofer who filled out the document is also in violation of the Issur Ribis. And the Edom who signed the document, Rashi quotes from the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Perek Ezel Neshach, the Malva, the loiver, the Orev, the Edom, the sofer, everybody involved. And the Sarstur, the Shatchen, the one who put the two people together, to put the Malva with the Loiva together to clinch the whole deal, is also in violation. Everybody's over or something over here. So the Malva, for sure, is Pasolaitis, because it's a Rosh de Hamas. No. I'm making extra. I'm making the profit over here. But even the Loiva is also considered a Rosh de Hamas. That's what Rava says. Because the Loiva only got the loan because he promised to pay the extra percent. If he wouldn't have promised to pay the extra amount, he would have never gotten a loan. So it comes out, even though the loiver is losing money, he has to pay this interest, but he's gaining the loan. He only got the loan in the first place because he agreed to pay the interest. The Rava says the loiver is also pasolaitis because he's also a Rosh de Chamas. He's violating the Aveira of Ribis in order to succeed in acquiring the loan. Craig Digmar, but the Mishnah doesn't seem to say, the Mishnah sounds like it says Hamalva Ribis. Sounds like the loiva is kosher. And for the Gemara name, you have to read the word differently. Not hamalva, but hamilva. All those involved in a loan of ribis, anyone who, the malva and the loiva, who were instrumental in making the loan, they're both called Rosh de Chamas. So now the Gemara tells a story. There was once a gangster. Sounds like a mafia name, Barbanesis. Barbanesis. Barbanesis, Asida Bey Trace Sahadi, two witnesses testified that he should be pasolaitis, but each one told a different story. Chadom, one of them said, Kami didi yoize beribis, I was once present when he lent beribis to somebody else. And the other one says, on another occasion, he lent me beribis. So the Pashup Shat is talking about, they're talking about two different halvos, not that one of the witnesses says, I was present when he lent him beribis, and this guy says, yeah, he lent me beribis. No. Each one is talking about a different halvos. So the Paskin quote in Shulchan Aruch that you see from this Gemara, first of all you see that in order to declare that someone is postulated, you have to have two kosher witnesses. You don't say that this is called Eidech HaDen and B'Yisur. In order to declare someone as a ganef is postulated, you require two kosher Eidim. Secondly, you see that Eidus Miyachedis is acceptable. Eidus Miyachedis is sufficient to declare a person as a gazlan. Let's say we want to declare someone as a pasolaitis. So one aid says, I saw him once eating on Yom Kippur, and he was not sick. He was eating on Yom Kippur, Bavere, and he knew that it was wrong. The other guy says, I once saw him drive an automobile on Shabbos. He says on Yom Kippur, he says on Shabbos, talking about two different stories. So let's say, in order to get Nisa, one says he was once smoking a cigar on Shabbos, the other guy says he was driving a car on a different Shabbos, on the same Shabbos. They're talking about two different stories. So Eidus Miyachedes is not mitztaref when it comes to din in the fashis. Eidus Miyachedes for mamonis is mitztaref. Let's say I come and I say, you owe me $200. Why $200? $100 I lent you, you owe me a halva. $100, you broke my window, so you owe me $100. So sachakol, $100 halva, $100 of the hezrik, you owe me $200. And I, so just because, and you deny everything, you don't want to pay a penny. So what do the witnesses say? So I have to have two witnesses. So what if I only have eid echad on the hezek and eid echad on the halvor? So that's called eidus miyachedus. One eid echad says, yeah, I know that he owes him $100 because he smashed his window. One eid echad says, yes, I know that he owes him $100 because he lent him $100. So that's the din. Eidus miyachedus, each one is coming in to tell a different story. Eidus miyachedus is acceptable when it comes to dini mamonos. But when it comes to an area of dini nefashos, the Gemara says eidus miyachedus is no good. That's the Gemara at the end of the first perek in Makkos. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk like that. It says in the pasuk, "Al pishnai meidim al pishlosh eidim yumas hanais." When it comes to din nefashos, you need two or three eidim. Lo yumas al pi eid echad. So the Gemara effect akasha, if it says that you need two or three eidim, it's obviously one is less than two or three. You don't have to be so great in mathematics to understand that one is less than two or three. So once the pasuk begins, "Al pishnai meidim al pishlosh eidim yumas hanais." What do you need the second half of the pasuk? Lo yumas al pi eid echad, that you cannot administer mises bezin based on eid echad. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that. Lo yumas al pi eid echad means echad echad, singular eidim. Even if you have two eidim, but the two eidim are not saying on the same mice. One says he smoked a cigar on Shabbos, the other one says he drove an automobile on Shabbos. Talking about two different stories. And one says he ate chazer, and a week together, the guy says he ate on Yom Kippur, kosher food, he ate on Yom Kippur. They're telling two different stories. Each one says that he's chayv malchus, but they're telling two different stories. So for malchus, so for misa, eidus miyachedus is not acceptable. And for mamonos, eidus miyachedus is acceptable. So our Gemara is saying yechidish. Eidus miyachedus is acceptable to passel a person le'eidus. That's what you see from this Gemara. Eidus miyachedus is acceptable to passel a person le'eidus. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The premise is that if you have, this was not always observed, but the premise of the discussion in Shulchan Aruch is that if the chazan is not observant, so the kehillah has the right to fire him. So let's say Eid Echad testifies that the chazan ate on Yom Kippur. And an Eid Echad testifies that the chazan drove his automobile on Shabbos. But you don't really have two witnesses on any one act. Or a rabbi, that's in the early Akronim, they talk about the chazan. Chazan Yigin on Yom Kippur. In the days of the Chasam Sofer, they had reformed rabbis, so they talk about, they had Orthodox rabbis who weren't observant either. So the Chasam Sofer and the Maram Shik have tshuvas about this. One Eid Echad testifies that the rabbi doesn't wash until he's dying before he eats. The rabbi eats bread without washing until he's dying. The other one testifies that the rabbi is Mezalzel and Hilchas Nida. So if you have an Eid Echad on this and an Eid Echad on that, so they say lahalach. You see from this Gemara that the eidus miyachedus is acceptable to passel a person, to fire the rabbi, or to fire the chazan, or to passel a person leidus, to passel up a person, to declare a person as a rosha. Whatever follows from that, you can even accept eidus miyachedus. Special din only dini nefashos. Special halacha that you can't administer dini nefashos based on eidus miyachedus. So Rimor gets involved over here a little bit about that Pagina Dibura. We already discussed that on some other occasion. Won't repeat it again. Then Rimor says the story. What's the din? What's the din if a person violates Lichniva Lesite Michshol? Let's say I invite you to my home and I give you a non-kosher food to eat. So do I get Malkus for violating Lichniva Lesite Michshol? So many Rishonim say no. There's no Malkus on Lefniva Lesite Michshol. They say it's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Why is a Lav Shein Bo Maisa? He feeds him the tray for food. So the Minchas Chinuch asks like that on the Rambam, on the Sefer HaChem. Why is Lav Shein Bo Maisa? I give you the food. Why shouldn't it be a Lav Shein? So that's a discussion. But many assume that there's no Malkus. Nonetheless, even though there's no Malkus, even if one should assume that on Lefniva Lesite Michshol there's no Malkus, and we say that in order to become postulators, you have to violate an Aveira, Shiejma Misa, Shiejma Malkus. Nonetheless, the Gemara tells a story. If you have a butcher who's selling non-kosher meat, and he fools the customers into believing that it's kosher, Hahu Tapcho, Dishtakach, it was discovered. Tapcho is a butcher. Hahu Tapcho, once upon a time, there was a butcher. Dishtakach, it was discovered. It's right in the middle of Chopem and Allah. Dishtakach, it was discovered in Afka, Treif Simitoy, Sayyade, that he had been selling non-kosher meat and fooling the people into believing that it's kosher. So the butcher is in violation of Lifniva Lesite Michshol. So why is he postulated? Lifniva Lesite Michshol is like a lab shame or maisa. The answer is no, you don't need a lab sheesh bo malchus on misa. This is Rasha de Chamas. This is just plain old Rasha de Chamas. You charge much more for kosher meat than for non-kosher meat. So what prompts them to violate lifnivirisitimishon? They're making a lot of money on it. They're selling trefa meat and claiming that it's kosher meat. So the thing, like the loiva beribis, is violating the isur of ribis in order to get the loan. And the malva beribis is in violation of isur ribis, even if there's no malchus. The Gemara in Bava Metzia has a machlekes whether the malva beribis gets malchus or not. Even if the malva beribis is ain't a loike, it's still, it's a rasha de chamas. And rasha de chamas, one who compromises his principles for money, machmas chimut mammon, doesn't have to have violated a lav sheish malchus and misa. That's only a rasha de mab de chamas. That's what he had. Machloik is abai berove, where the mumarach and the velis lahachas is possible or not, because he's not compromising any principles. So that's one of the six cases that we pass from, like abai the alkagam, that's the mem of the alkagam. Mumarach and the velis lahachas is possible, it is. So that mumar lahachas, it has to be alav sheishma malkas, alav sheishma mis. But over here, just plain old Rasha de Chamas. This is simple. The butcher is charging kosher prices on non-kosher meat. So he's in violation of Lifnei Ivra, Machmas Chim and Mam. So of course he's postulated. So the Gemara says the butcher wanted to do tshuva, and then the question was, just because he promises to do tshuva, so you take his word for it. How do you know that the tshuva is valid? So the Gemara says it's hard. The Bezal Shalmaila knows whether a person, Bezal Shalmaila can read our hearts to know whether the tshuva is valid or not. How does the Bezal Shalmata know? Tshuva is relevant to Halacha Lamaisa here by Psuli Edis. If a person, let's say a person is chayv malchus amisa, then he does tshuva. The Bez is still going to give him the malchus amisa. Bez and Shalmaila won't give a punishment, but Bez and Shalmata gives the punishment anyway. So the tshuva is irrelevant as far as malchus amisa is concerned. But tshuva is relevant for Bez and Shalmata for psuliators. So the Gemara says, how do we know whether he's doing tshuva? Maybe he's a faker. So the Gemara has very stiff requirements in order that we should consider him as a bal tshuva to say that Mikan Yelich is really kosher ladies. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. The Talmud Yerushalmi has a famous comment in the beginning of Perek Arbei Pesachim, the last Perek of Pesachim, that the mitzvah of Arbei Kosis is only a mitzvah of the Rabbanah, so Takanas Chacham is not a Din D'oraisa. And it's based on the two opinions in Yerushalmi. The Rashbam there, in the beginning of Arbei Pesachim, quotes the two opinions. The one opinion is that it's based on the four parts of the Geula. Some Rishonim use a Loshon, Arba Loshonah Shal Geula. Others say, no, Dalet Geulas, the four parts for the Geula. It says, V'hotzeisi, V'hitzalti, V'gaalti, V'lakati. So some ask the kasha, so if you have already four parts to the gula, why don't you have five choices? The fifth one will be connected to Hevesiyascha. You go by Hevesiyascha Melhoret. And we have a minig, so we have a kosa shel Elio. So the different suggestions, what exactly the kosa shel Elio is all about. So some gedolim put the two together, so they say, the four parts to the gula, v'hotzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'goalti, v'lokachti eschem li liyom, these have already been fulfilled. So that makes sense that every Pesach night, we drink a toast, to v'hotzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'goalti, that was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was up keton. That's irreversible. V'lokachti eschem li liyom, we are the Yama Nivchor. That's irreversible. That was already Nizkayim Bono, and we have to drink a toast. V'hotzeisi eschem li liyom, that was it was reversible and it was reversed. We came into Eretz Yisrael, then we were kicked out. Then we came into Eretz Yisrael the second time, we were kicked out. So what are we going to drink a toast to? Vehevesi Eskim al Haaretz. We lost it. We were promised something, we were given, and then it was taken away. But it doesn't make sense to drink a toast. So that's what some say. That's what the Kosa Shel Eliyahu was all about. As Eliyahu that Kumin, and we'll all come back to Eretz Yisrael, then it'll be irreversible. Because the Pasuk says in Navi, that the Rabbanu Shalom is going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, and he won't send us out into Golus again another time. That'll be finished. So then, that's how the Reisha Rav quotes such a suggestion from Gdol. When we'll have, in the days of Eliyahu Navi, then the Hevesi Eschem Al-Horz will be fulfilled in an irreversible fashion, then we'll take a drink five kaises. But up until that time, so we only drink arba kaises, because the fifth promise was reversed already, and we knew it was reversible, even during the period of the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, before it was reversed, but it was reversible, so that's why we didn't drink a toast, no? Baruch Shalom should be mezakas, we should come to the day that we should have all the five cases, all the five ourselves. Again, the shiur next week, instead of being on Monday night, I'll have to give the shiur on Thursday night. And after that, it'll go back to normal. Monday, yeah.
I'll pay you.
The question is,
I'll pay you.
Yes, I'll pay you.